now we go to the book of Acts in chapter 20. We got up last time to verse 19. And let's go ahead and just review that, 19, 20, and 21, if we can. All right, if we have Acts 20, glad to have Tammy back with us. You're feeling up to par, a little bit more up to par than this morning? Good. Glad to see you. Acts 20, let's read 19, 20, and 21. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, where was Paul when he spoke to this to them? According to verse 17. Where was Paul? In Miletus, and that's right here. See, Miletus is right here. And who did he call from where?
The elders.
The elders? Church of Ephesus. See, Ephesus is right here. See, it's only about 10 miles north. See, Miletus is here. He was in Miletus, called the elders of the church. Now, we see that these elders are pastors, bishops, and elders, all three of them. And we'll see that in this context here. So, he called to them, and in verse 19, we talked about that last time. What did Paul do at Ephesus? We'll see later he was there 3 years, but what did he do? Did he go? What did he say of himself? He was humble. What else? All right, that's right. What was he doing there? And then verse 19. All right, confessions? Like for Roman Catholic Church, you mean?
No, he was confessing to the telling them
all right.
Some of the horrible things that he had.
That's right. He was telling with tears and temptation what befell him, lying awake. What else? The very first part of that verse, what does it say he was doing?
Serving
the Lord. What is involved in serving the Lord? Anna? All right, that's possible. Trish? Witnessing? What do you have to have first before you can serve the Lord?
Salvation.
Can you serve the Lord really without being saved? Well, it had to be saved first. Believers. Now, some people think they're serving the Lord. Did Paul think he was serving the Lord before he was saved?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he thought he was serving the Lord, but it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. It was, he thought, the God of the Old Testament until the Lord revealed it to him. So he told about his temptations, tears, and lying in wait of the Jews. And then in verse 20, what type of ministry did he have? Did he just go around the edges of things, as some pastors and churches do, so as not to offend anybody? What was his statement of what he ministered at that church in Ephesus?
Kept back nothing.
It was profitable. And that's what we call preaching the whole counsel of God, some things that are more pleasant than others in the Scriptures, but he kept that nothing that was profitable, but showed you and taught you publicly. Where did he teach them? What's the difference between publicly and house to house? Possibly. That's right, individually, house to house. And also, possibly, they had the house churches in those days, didn't they? Just like we have today. They had churches in the house. That's mentioned at least three or four times in Scripture, the church in the house, this church is in the house of this one, this one. So, Paul was not against going to houses and preaching and teaching the Scriptures. And who was in those houses, you think? Who do you think, what kind of people would be in those houses where he would go to? Think they'd be believers, unbelievers? What do you think they'd be? Could it be both? Could be both. But he taught publicly. And then in verse 21, what was the ministry that he mentions here? What did he specially testify to?
Jews
and Greeks, both. And who did the gospel come to first, as the Scripture says? The Jews. And then the Jews rejected, then they went to the Gentiles or the Greeks. Drink weeks were just a form of the Gentiles. And what were the, what's the substance of his message here to these Jews and Greeks both? What two phases did he preach to them?
Repentance and faith.
Repentance and faith. Now, what is repentance? If repentance is to God, why do you have to have repentance toward God? What was the attitude before being saved? What should the attitude be after being saved? Repentance toward God.
What? Sinners, I'm sure that the Lord
is. All right, we're sinners. What does repentance mean?
Rethink,
repenting, all right. And metanoia in the Greek language is a change. Meta in nous is from noia, which is a change of mind. Rethink yourself about what you are, what you believe, and who you think you are. And so repentance toward God. In other words, we've got to come to the Lord and say, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm undone, and can you save me? And so these are things that we have to think about in repentance before we trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. And then the second phase was what?
Believe
in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we say. In other words, faith toward the Lord Jesus. Can you repent toward God and you just leave faith in Christ out?
No.
You really shouldn't, but I mean...
What have you changed your mind about?
Yes, exactly. It's conceivable in the mind. You can think of it. Some people just repent and change their mind about themselves, but they don't come to Christ. They could be repentant like the AA. See? Nothing wrong if it's going to help people. They change their mind about their drinking, but they don't come to Christ necessarily. But they can repent of their past drinking habits. And that?
The
apostles,
same things. Peter, you know, the first phrase, repentance for God, been joined by the preparation of hand, faith toward our Lord, or faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
the possible
well, either repetitive, yeah, either repetitive or certainly conjoined together and go together. Absolutely, they do go together. Repentance toward God, faith toward Lord Jesus, those go together. Those should be a package deal, package thing like we mentioned this morning in the message, and not a separate thing, but they go together. So it's very important that we have faith. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, do the modernist liberals have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The modernist liberals, who say the Apostles' Creed every Sunday. I believe in Jesus Christ and Father Almighty. All right.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of
heaven and earth, and His only Son,
Christ, His only Son, our Lord, conceived by the
Virgin
Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Was dead and buried.
He descended into hell. Third day rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven. From thenceforth he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
Yeah, all those things.
That's all true. Isn't that the Apostles' Creed?
Yeah.
Apostles' Creed. Yeah. Have the Holy Catholic Church.
That's right.
Same creed.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the Holy Catholic Church is in the Apostles' Creed, I think, too.
Oh, well, they changed that. When I was, like, in catechism class, it used to be the Holy Christian Church. And then they changed it to the Holy Catholic Church. That's when they began their slide.
Yeah.
So back...
Go ahead, Dad, say it.
Back when you were younger?
How diplomatic. Yes, back in the 50s.
Yes. So, now, my question is this. In that Apostles' Creed that I used to say too, as a Methodist, young boy, growing up, my mom said you'd go to Sunday school or either church, one or the other. They always said the Apostles' Creed. I wasn't saved then. But I said I believe in all these things you just said. Can that save you that alone? No. So, do the liberal modernists really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? When I say faith in the Lord.
They probably, I can recognize as a historical person.
Historical person. What does it involve in the word Lord? Kurios. What's involved in that? It's just a historical person?
No, your
master. That's right. And would deity also be implied there? That he's God? Lord, in the sense of God? And Jesus means what? Savior, all right? Christ. Christos. Messiah. The anointed one. See, you know. So, this is an important thing, to know that the Jesus that you have faith in is the Jesus of the Bible, the Scripture. Virgin born, deity of Christ, by the resurrection, all these different things. Salvation by faith in Him. And these liberals...
There is an order, right? Salvation first.
Yes.
Repentance and then faith. Is that right?
Well, I think... What did you say first?
Salvation.
Now that's the Calvinist order. See, the Calvinism teaches salvation must be first. Once you're saved, God will give you repentance and faith. We believe in Scripture, it's faith first. And repentance, strong repentance in conjunction with the faith, and then salvation comes from that. See, they invert Acts 16:30b and 31.
Is that what the verse is? Acts 16.
In other words,
repentance before.
Well, no. We're trying to be baptized. But John 16:30 says, search what must I do to be saved? and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I remember there's a missionary, he's dead now, but Peach, was it Timothy Peach in Japan? And we used to have our Bible study news report comes out every month, he used to come out every month. And one of the times I mentioned this, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, he wrote back a very hostile, bitter letter. He was a Bible believing Christian. He said, that is dead wrong. You can't believe in Christ to be saved. You've got to be saved before you can believe in Christ. See, that's the hyper-Calvinist view. Salvation precedes faith. That's what Mr. Harold Kaplan teaches all the time on the radio. And we believe that that's unscriptural. So salvation must follow faith and repentance. And faith, I woke them together like I mentioned this morning.
Faith and repentance.
Yeah, together. And then that brings salvation. See? Yeah.
Why can't they be... Is it concurrent or is it linear? Lineal, rather.
As far as... salvation,
the order of salvation or repentance, salvation, faith.
Well, if it's genuine repentance and faith, salvation is instantaneous. But
like the baptism of the Holy Spirit and indwelling Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's true, man. But logically thinking it through for our minds, what must precede salvation? That's the thing. See, we've got to cut it up because a lot of people.
In the logical sense,
we say what's first. What's next? Because of the
hyperlapsarian, infralapsarian, and sublapsarian.
That's right.
It's
a reasoning logic. That's the reason. Infra, supra, lapsarian, and so on, sublapsarian, all these different. When did the fall of man occur?
Why would you repent before you were saved?
So what's the order?
Faith, repentance, salvation?
Well, that's certainly... I think the order...
They all really are simultaneous.
That's simultaneous, but you see, we're thinking...
They are simultaneous, yeah. Just trying to think logically.
Reasonably, what is... Because of the Calvinist position, we've got to differentiate the Calvinist position and the position of Scripture. I believe it's repentance. We have to change our mind. Metanoia means to change our mind. Before we can even have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to change our mind about ourselves as sinners. I mean, that's my feeling, logically. I don't need Christ. I don't need to believe in Him if I'm all right, see. If I'm going to heaven on my own, see, that's logically, I would think I have to rethink my own condition and realize I'm lost, and then I can turn to Christ by faith and get salvation. But it's sort of connected, see, that's the thing. Yes, Trish?
My brother, I guess, and I had this discussion somewhat. Can you be saved without repentance? He believes you can.
See, well, that's what they're teaching a lot of times. That's what Dallas Central Seminary, as I mentioned this morning in the message, the 8-volume set, Dr. Schaefer pounded that into us in Dallas Seminary for 4 years. It's faith plus nothing, see. It's not faith plus works. It's not faith plus baptism. Faith plus repentance. He added that in, see. So there's a whole thing. But you see, that's what Jack Hiles preached, faith without any repentance. And so there's no repentance, there's no repentant life. And so we have in the Billy Graham Crusades in Reno, Nevada, the place of the gambling dens. Now he would preach, and they'd have faith in Christ. They keep on going with their gambling, and there's no repentance, there's no changed life, see. And my only feeling is the faith that does not change the life cannot save the soul. I mean, that's my feeling. It just goes together. First of all, you realize you're a sinner. When I heard the gospel for the first time at my high school janitor, Uncle Charlie Allen, we used to call him, in high school, he gave me the serpent on the pole. And those people, before they looked in faith, had to realize they'd been bitten. See? And so I could see I was bitten. I was a sinner. I'm lost. Methodist Sunday school boy all the time, but still lost. High school senior, 16 years of age. And then I could see that they look on faith at the pole, and whoever was bitten by the serpent was healed. And so the Savior looked up. So now, Chris, you said faith only, but you see, I realize faith only, but to be realistic faith, genuine faith, there's got to be a change of your mind about your sin. So repentance has got to fit in there, see, somehow or another. But repentance is not a work, though. See, a lot of people say it's a work, and so, yeah, Dan. Anna, yes. Want to unravel this, Anna?
You could repent in your mind, but you have to hold
Well, it can if you repent and have faith in the Lord Jesus at the same time. Yes, contemporaneously. You see, here's the thing. You remember Agrippa? Almost unpersuaded to be a Christian. He may have thought about himself. In fact, Festus, he reasoned of faith, of righteousness, and so on, and judgment to come, but he never did make that other step. So in other words, it's conceivable in your mind, you could say, oh, I repent, I am a sinner, but I'm not going to trust Christ as my Savior. I'm going to do it by good works or something else. See what I mean? So logically, if we break these things up, repentance, change of mind, faith, and salvation. Yes?
Well, then, is that what MacArthur is trying to do in his logical concept of the lordship of salvation? Okay, your first step, okay, you repent, then you want to, then you have worship, then you have salvation, then you have faith?
I think so, because
he's trying to explain the logical decrees or the logical thinking of something that happens all at the same time.
John MacArthur, being a Calvinist, a hyper-Calvinist, five-point Calvinist, believes you cannot have faith in Christ to be saved. You have to be saved first before you get to faith. Therefore, after your lordship and then salvation after.
But how's the difference between repentance, salvation, and faith? How's that different than lordship, salvation, and faith?
Well, the lordship of Christ cannot be had as a sinner. There's no way in the world that I, as a lost sinner, could possibly make the Lord Jesus Lord of my thought life, my speech, my activities. An unsaved person can't make Christ Lord.
Repent without salvation.
Well, somebody can say, well, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, not, but I don't trust Christ. I may go trust Muhammad or something else. See, there's repentance in all false religions, too. So it's conceivable. Now, scriptural faith and scripture repentance, you repent of your sin, realize you're a sinner, then you trust Christ as your Savior, and He saves you immediately. It's a progression. But it's, with our mind, we can think, well, there's stages, there's steps, even though it is contemporaneous. Have we solved that problem yet, Moses?
I mean, in Acts 16, the Philippians, you have a sirs, what must I be to be saved?
Right.
And they didn't say, well, first you have to repent.
No, I didn't say that, did I? I said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, now shall be saved. That's why Dr. Schaefer is crystal clear. He says 150 times, the Gospel alone, Gospel of John, rather, it's belief, faith, 150 times, without anything else like that. So that's why he's faith alone, see, it will save us. But in and of that, if it's genuine faith, there's a change of heart, change of mind, and a repentant feeling of against yourself and sin. So the jailer was told, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the argument I have with the hyper-Calvinists, as unscriptural as the day is long, they say the order is not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. The order for them is be saved because you're elect. And then you can believe. God will give you the ability to believe in Christ. But the order is reversed in Scripture. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Always faith precedes everlasting life. Not everlasting life precedes faith. See, that's the distinction there. Yeah? I'll wrap it up for us. Pardon me? Well, the subject is repentance toward God in verse 21 and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're right on target. Are we not? Discussing repentance.
Well, here we have the mention of...
Your dad brought up lordship salvation, which is a part of this, really. It's a part of it, yeah.
Your response for God and the response for the Lord Jesus, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Is repentance?
Yes, what was that?
Trinity,
I think that's what we're saying. All right. Which means, interpreted as?
They're all involved in salvation.
Well, when you have faith in Christ, only then can you have true repentance to God when you see what you have been doing
for
your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you confess that, total
change it.
Your view of everything.
And the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit,
has
entered into your
point.
You've guided and led with the Spirit of God. That's right. Pardon me? That's a real bit into it. He stopped short. Almost stopped his face. All right, Anna, are we ready to move on to the next verse then? Okay, so in other words, this is a discussion, it's a very pertinent discussion right now, and people are writing books on the thing and so on. Some have decided that it's a complete faith. The other Catholic faith has to be repentance and faith, and there's a big fight and a battle in the fundamentalist world on this whole subject.
So there's a survey of repentance plus faith equals salvation.
I think that's a good picture. And it's got to be genuine faith, because there's faith of the head, faith of the heart.
Repentance plus, does that be genuine repentance?
I would say it has to be genuine repentance.
Genuine faith equals salvation.
Yes. Or if you want to put it, genuine faith plus genuine repentance equals salvation. I mean, the order of repentance and faith, I mean, I think they're simultaneous. But
mathematically, the equal sign, you can say salvation equals repentance and faith.
Well, you can look back on it and say, because I got salvation, the product of is salvation. But the beginning, the this plus this equals.
Why would you say, before you're saved, I'm sorry and believe? Why would you repent before you were saved?
Because, what's that?
I think anyone can repent. I mean, a lot of people go back to the Catholic Church and
sure.
repent.
They go to confession every Saturday night.
Right. Well, I mean real repentance.
Scriptural repentance, I really, this is just my opinion.
That's all right, that's what
I really think that first you must have faith in Christ. Until you have faith in Christ and know what He has done for you,
yes.
what the Father has done for you,
mm-hmm.
you can't really have that kind of repentance that
mm-hmm.
pleases the Lord for being saved.
And it leads to salvation
right.
by faith. So
in Galatians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves the gift of God, not of works of any which you boast.
Mm-hmm.
Right, how does repentance? Repentance comes first.
Well, that's the thing. We're hard pressed in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 to fit in repentance. Repentance is in other four places, so we just assume that that's a part and
parcel. Another place where it says repent and be baptized for remission of sin, other place in Acts.
Yes.
So, why?
So, what is your, Dan, you lean to the faith only without any repentance to salvation, or what?
Well, I would think that in order to obtain salvation, in Romans chapter 10, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Right.
You mean confession. Is confession
part of salvation? Well, that's
confession. We have
that's
method,
one of
the word metanoia. The two words method are changed and noia in mind, but there's other word that means a confession.
Homologeo. That's one thing that says it's not part of salvation. In other words, it's not faith plus confession, faith plus trying to church, faith plus repentance. I mean, he's just faith alone.
Confession and repentance, how do they relate to each other? So
confession is a work.
Confession follows repentance.
It follows repentance, I would say. See, he's talking about Romans 10, 9, 10. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe on thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, with the heart man believeth unto salvation. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The fact that you are saved, you confess to others. See, that's so. I think confessing means if you outwardly realize that you're saved and you confess to others, that's that guarantee. That means that that's what we should do is confess our salvation to others. And if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him, thou shalt be saved.
But that confession that the Catholics use as confession
is different.
It's like a work.
It's a work. You're right, Bonnie. You got a comment or clear it up for us?
Well, not necessarily. A person to be saved must recognize that they are a sinner.
That's right.
That they need to be saved.
That's right.
And how can they do that?
The Holy Spirit of God brings it to their heart and mind. That's one way. Go ahead, Mom.
Right. And you have to know that you're a sinner.
Some of the verses will tell us. See, all the sin comes short of the glory of God. In other words, the Bible shows us the picture. Romans chapter 3. Yes.
When I was saved, when my mother led me to the Lord, I believed that I was a sinner, even though I was a good girl. But I realized that I was born a sinner, and there were some things that showed that I was a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
So I accepted Christ as my Savior. And my mother used the verse, Romans 10, 9, and 10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I was born again when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I got on the paper and said, was a 10, like Anna's age, and I was saved. And so whenever I would talk to somebody, I always, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died
for us. Yes, he died for sinners.
But then, after you went to seminary, you kept saying, just believe.
That's what Dr. Shermer told us. It was in the theology book. Which I think is a good verse. I mean, it is believe. But along with that belief, there's repentance and change of heart and mind. That's what I believe.
Well,
it's a concomitant. It goes right along with it. See, faith alone saves us. There's no question.
Because the devil's belief.
And tremble. There's a devil's belief, a head belief, but not a heart belief. It has to be genuine. But getting back to Dan's verse, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved. Let me just knock the Calvinist, hyper-Calvinist once more a little bit on this, and Harold Camping. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Their interpretation is this: by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself. That faith is the gift of God. See, that faith is not of works, lest any man should boast. That is wrong from the Greek standpoint. I made a whole master of theology dissertation thesis on that, right? Those verses. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, 1 to 10. The word that is neuter, tuto. My grace is feminine. Faith is feminine. Tuto is neuter. Can't refer to faith. It's not the faith. It's the tuto, the whole idea of sestos menoi, which is the participle of being saved. By grace you're saved through faith. Are you saved? Have you been saved? That not of yourselves. That's the whole idea of salvation is not of yourselves. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is not of works. See, if that's the end, so they twist and say faith. So this is the difference in theology that brings these things up. Ready to move on, Eva?
And then I remember very well being taught. And I forget, I think it's in John, you know, that all that comes out of the Father draws you.
Yes.
Well,
no man.
That's wrong.
Well, it's not wrong. It's right. Well, no man can come unto the Father. So the Father, which has sent me, draw him. But it also in the Gospel of John it says, "I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto myself." So the Father said, "The Son is drawing all men." Says, no man can come except the Father draws. He's drawing all men, so that it's free that they can all be drawn, all be saved. See that if they trust him. So the drawing, that verse, one verse goes along with the other.
Right.
All right. Well, okay, Anna's got a question, so go ahead.
Well,
talk first.
You see, I believe that come unto me, all ye that are, come unto me. There's two things. When you are saved, like Dr. Aaron said, I taught, and my mother always taught, it was like a big entrance to a house. It was say, come. And you go into your free will, you come. And then when you got in there, you turn around, and over that same place on the inside said, you know, that I was chosen before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I believe.
Yes.
So she says she believes in election, a modified form of election.
She's a modified Tamil.
I do believe
right.
in election, but I believe in free will too.
Right. Now, no man. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit of God does speak to a man. See, no man can come except the Father, Son, that's to draw him. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that draws men unto himself. Remember, there's three things. It says, the Holy Spirit,
John 16:7,
which says what?
John 16.
The Spirit of God.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient.
The guys get offered.
For it to go away, provide. Okay. So the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
So he will reprove the world of sin. See, so the Holy Spirit of God must, as the gospel is preached, the Spirit of God does work on the heart of people.
And it goes on, I have yet made him stand to you, but you cannot bear them now.
Right.
Howbeit when the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show unto you now the word permission of.
Not speak of or from himself, the ek, yeah. From himself is the source. The Holy Spirit listens to what the Lord Jesus says, and then the Lord Jesus is the master teacher, and the Holy Spirit takes it to the writers write it down. That's right.
Maybe there are different kinds of repentance, too. There's worldly repentance.
Yes.
In fact, I'm sorry I did.
Yes, exactly. That's because Paul says that in one of the verses on repentance. Said they repented, but not unto salvation. They had a false repentance. That's right. There's the word metamelo, which is not metanoia, not change of mind, but just a change of thought. And it says that Judas repented. Metamelo, it doesn't say metanoia. So he had different false repentance. Remember, he changed his mind? I wish I hadn't done it. He cast the money back at his changes. See? So you're right, there's different kinds. They repented, but not unto. See, Paul mentions there's different kind of false repentance. Just like there's false belief, like the devil's belief.
That's where I have my problem, because
you have a problem?
I would say that it's salvation. I was saved. And then I repented.
Of your lifestyle.
And because of my faith, I trusted God.
Yeah.
Well, is that faulty thinking?
Well, if that's what happened to you, I can't change what happened. Yeah.
Because worldly, I was not sorry for the things I did before, spiritually sorry, spiritually repented.
Yeah.
For the things I did before I was saved.
Well,
some things I was worldly sorry,
yes,
that I had done.
But
like when they said on the weather forecast that it was so hot you could fry an egg on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I took the neighbor's dozen eggs and tried to fry them on the sidewalk. So I was sorry for that. But that was worldly. I was scrambled afterwards.
Well, here's the thing. You have learned a lot of the things of the scriptures after you've been saved, like the rest of us. And if you learn the Bible and the scriptures, you kind of have insight as to all what happens. All you know is you're saved, then you wonder what happened afterwards. And so, same with me. I didn't learn the theology of the thing. All I knew is I was a sinner and I was lost and I trusted Christ and I was saved. Later on, I realized the whole situation. So, it's a backward look. Yes, Joanne?
Well, in Mark, the first chapter, when he's telling his disciples to be fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
He says that. And then it says, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's sending them out to be fishers of men, he's telling them that they have to get people to repent.
Yes. And that was the gospel of repentance that John the Baptist preached, the disciples preached. And it's a little different gospel than we preach today as far as the gospel of the grace of God. I mean, it was the law of Moses, it was a transitional time, but they were taught to repent all the time. I came not to call sinners righteous people, but sinners to repentance. That's what I came to do. Yes, Anna? Finally? Want to clear this up for us?
Many
times, but many times before you pray, but in your prayer, you repent before God. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be a repentance before the Lord, that's for sure. Now, we said earlier, we showed you the paper back there, one of the fundamental leaders, that had got a drinking problem, and he's no longer in the ministry, resigned, all of his things, and put it out so everyone could see it. And it's an honest confession of what he'd done and what he's resigned and so on and so forth.
He was turned in, that's why.
Well, I know, because he was turned in, because his daughter said there's, you know, so on. The deacons, 2002, the deacons first knew about his drinking, and the police knew about his drinking, driving under attack, under influence, so on. It wasn't until 2004, 2 years later, that they finally said, well, this is enough. But the point of it is, if the pastor, having done that drinking, has seriously repented and forsaken the drinking, that's, we don't know, he didn't say it in his confession, that's the proof of the pudding, isn't it? He can say, I'm sorry that I drank as a pastor, but, and you and I know, we've got to,
that's confession, but not repentance.
That's confession, but not repentance. So that's an idea of, we hope that that's the case. I mean, how could he not stop the whole thing? If he's an alcoholic, that's easier said than done. I'm sure I've told him that's what, never been an alcoholic, but, so he's got to work with that if that's the situation. See, if he's really in that situation, and obviously he is, No pastor in his right mind would continue drinking and be a pastor if he couldn't stop drinking. I mean, he knows it's wrong.
But
so, I know, but we hope and pray that he will stop it. I realize, but we just hope that any person in that situation will stop and see that's true repentance and change of life and change of heart.
And what a poor testimony that is for the rest of the world.
Yes.
They say, well, if he hadn't gotten caught, he would have continued doing exactly what he's doing.
Who knows?
And now that at least we're talking to you in illustration, let's move away from, for example, Virginia Beach, just go to the ordinary guy down at the over
the tavern,
next town over, or any town, doesn't matter, does it? So before that person can be saved, he's got to clean up his life first, he's got to repent. Stop drinking?
No, that's what I don't believe. See, that's lordship salvation.
What's this mean? Lordship and repentance.
Well,
just so we're not lordship salvation, so we have repentance salvation versus lordship salvation.
No, I think repentance of the change of mind concerning his sin. He realizes his sin. That's all I mean by my repentance.
So he's got to change his mind before he knows he's got to say, okay, he goes on his checklist, okay, this drinking is wrong.
I just think the drunk has got to realize I'm a sinner. Not of course you're drunk, I'm a sinner if I didn't drink. As mom said. She was a sinner, a little girl, 9 years old, had never stolen or drunk or anything else, but she realized she was lost in sin. That's all I mean by my repentance. I don't mean big, fat change of your life, because that would be lordship salvation. If you think that before you can be saved, you've got to take the drunkenness out of the drunk, you've got to take the movie theater going out of the movie theater, and all the prostitution out of the before you can be saved.
What is the sinner repenting of?
It's a change of mind about his own sin.
That they know
they're sinners. That's all.
And
not any one particular sin.
God has helped me not to do that anymore. I mean, I continued to smoke after I was saved.
Yes.
It was a terrible mistake to quit that.
Right.
It was a part of my prayer.
Yes. That's right. See, but you see, if you say complete total repentance before you can be saved, that means you can never be saved until you stop smoking, stop drinking, stop carousing. It's
so
salvation.
Partial repentance.
Well,
I mean, I'm saying how.
My definition, my repentance, the type of thing is change of mind regarding yourself and your sin, that you're a sinner and you're lost. Then you have faith in Christ, and after the faith in Christ, then your life should change and develop a new life completely.
So you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Come to the realization that you need a Savior.
Right.
Repentance.
Exactly.
According to the definition.
That you're lost.
She's modifying, she's adding to it. What are you adding to?
You have to know that you're a sinner.
No, you're a sinner. That's exactly
right. You need a Savior.
See, that's because you're changing your mind regarding your sin, see. But
that comes before salvation, right? Knowing you're a sinner.
That's right. Why do you need to be saved? If I weren't drowning, why would I need a lifeguard to help save me? I've got to say, help me. See, I've got to be first realize I'm drowning. Otherwise, go by your, go, you know, flirt with the girls or something else. Don't save me. I'm not drowning.
I do think that God does that to us, too. So that we know that we're not perfect. He gives us a weakness.
Yes. That's right. That's right. That makes us fall more decidedly upon Him, His strength. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, said Paul. Now, let me just throw out a question here. Some people do not like our discussions here. I think it's helpful. It's not preaching. Some people think the preachers will do all the things and everything and just listen. No. We discuss the scriptures, the Word of God. We try to stay on the subject as long as Anna will get us back to the subject. But we try to, because to me, this is what is Bible teaching and understanding, what we need to know about these various doctrines. Yes, Anna? Then we'll move on to verse 23. Yes, Anna?
Repentance. Even when you have
faith
that truly when you have repented, but you need to repent before God. And when you repent before God, you
would say
that it's not.
All right, that sounds good.
Brings us full circle.
It's all together. It's a contemporaneous situation. All right, but I'm just one more. Can I have a last word? All right, one more thing. The distinction between Lord John MacArthur and other people in the words of salvation and the true scriptural position is this. He says, you've got to have full repentance, full everything, change of life, change everything, be perfect almost before you can be saved. I say, no, that comes after. You be saved, you trust Christ as Savior, you have a different position of sin, you know you're a sinner, you're saved, you're born again. And then after you're saved, God expects us to change our life and our lifestyle and clean our act up. That's my difference. It's instead of lordship, salvation first, then we can get the picture. All right. Thank you for the last word.
Bye. I have another word.
Well, you always do.
Well, when I was a child, we used to have revival meetings. And you'd bring in your friends, people bring their friends in, and there'd be real conviction. And the meetings would last several weeks because the revivalists had to have more than 1 or 2 days. The Holy
right.
Spirit had to work on their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And people would be there, and they would hang on to the top of the pew. I mean, they would be so under conviction.
Yes.
And some of them would not, I'm thinking of Little Grange especially there, some of them would not receive Christ. There was a battle, and they would not receive Christ.
But you could see they were
under
conviction.
And so, there has to be a sorrow for one's sin. I guess that's what you call repentance. But there's this new thing now, that if you don't preach repentance, then they say you're like Jack Hiles.
Yes. Well, I'm a Dallas Seminary man and believe that faith, genuine, trusting faith, is the essence that brings us salvation, like John the Gospel John said. But I bow somewhat and say, all right, I'm willing to bring in the change of mind that you're a sinner and bring repentance into that genuine faith, and I have no problem with this. Even though I was taught differently, I can bring that in without any apology. But I still strengthen the faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did not say repent and then believe. He said believe, see. In other words, all kinds of scriptures, John 3.16, John 3.36. He never said to the Philippian jailer, repent. Nor did he say, if you're the elect, you can be saved. Or God, he doesn't say God will give you the faith. He said, you, my friend, are able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do so. And if you do so, you'll be saved. And your house, if it does so, they'll be saved.
He asked the question.
Oh, yes, sir. What must I do to be saved?
So there was a reason why he asked the question.
He realized
there were circumstances.
He already knew it. He knew he was a sinner, didn't he? Because he wouldn't know how to. Why did he say? Why did he say that?
But not repented of that.
Well, but he kind of did by the very fact that he asked Paul, "What am I supposed to do to be saved? I'm in bad shape. I didn't kill myself because you said we're all here. We hadn't fled. Normally they kill themselves if the prisoners go because they're going to be beheaded or something else terrible. So I think he did have heart repentance. You know, anyway, he changed his mind. He knew that he was lost, didn't he? Otherwise, you went through and say, why do I need to be saved?
And Agrippa said, I'm almost persuaded.
Almost persuaded. He wasn't strongly enough persuaded.
So he had repentance, but didn't have salvation. Is that right? With Agrippa?
No, I don't think he even had repentance.
Maybe not, actually.
But I like the acrostic with faith, because it makes it a personal thing. Forsaking all, I trust and faith.
Yes, that's very good. Now, Anna, we're ready to move on. Are you going to have the third to the last word?
We're one verse.
Third to the last word, Anna, or what? You ready, Anna, or one quick one?
Philippian jailer, he thought he was going to be killed by
himself. Or by himself, suicide, yeah.
But he thought he was going to be. He was afraid of
Paul
and Silas.
Probably.
So that's right
for
that. He wasn't looking
at spiritually,
but physically.
Well, I don't think Paul Silas would have hurt him.
Yeah, but he had a thought.
Anyhow.
Now, in the case of the flipping jailer, you know, it was midnight and Paul and Silas were singing hymns.
Yes.
And
after 6 minutes,
the prisoners heard them.
Yep.
And so, and during all this time, or sometime during this, the jailkeeper has fallen asleep in Acts 16.
Well, I don't really fell asleep. Keep the prisoner. Yeah, you're right. Waking out of his sleep. You're right. Verse 27. You're right. You're right. Verse 27 says he fell asleep. Waking out of his sleep when the prison doors.
He saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and would have killed himself.
That's right.
Supposing the prisoners have been
fled. Right.
Paul
cried with a
loud
voice
saying,
do thyself
no harm, for we are here.
Right.
And then he called for light and sprang in and came in trembling. He fell down before Paul and Silas. And that's when he asked the question. And said,
brought them out and said, sir, what must I do? That's right. That's the fact.
So he heard the message from Paul and Silas that everyone was still there. So I think he was
glad.
He knew of the reputation. He knew why Paul and Silas were there, what charges, why they were in prison,
mm-hmm.
for trumped up charges for preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was aware of who they were and who they represented, and so he knew they would have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And
he knew he needed to be saved.
He knew he was a sinner.
He knew he was a sinner, that's right. and you knew he was lost, otherwise you would have had to be saved. And that's my idea of repentance, knowing that you're lost. That's the only thing that I see. If you know and recognize, you think of it, it's changing your mind about yourself. Before you're saved, you don't know you're lost, do you?
I don't know. What's most of the people in the world, if you asked them, are you a sinner, I think they would say yes.
On the other hand, if you ask them if they're Christian, they would say yes too. Well, so they agree with it. Have you seen some of them say that they're not sinners?
The churches of this country are filled with people who are lost because they don't know they're sinners.
All right, I think you're right. They don't know they're lost. Yes. Anna?
We're going in circles.
Okay, we're going in circles. Shall we go back to ground zero? Let's go to verse 22, 23, and 4 together. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that not knowing things that befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. All right, so in verse 22, what does he mean, I go bound in the Spirit? What would it mean to be bound in the Spirit? Is that in chains? In what sense is Paul bound in the Spirit?
Being told spiritually.
Probably, spiritually, and impelled and straightened and empowered to go there. He was convinced that that's what the Lord would have him to do. Did he know the future? Was he on mission? Was Paul on mission? No, he didn't know the thing. They did tell him things, but he hadn't been told, except he didn't know it should be fine. But in verse 23, which person of the Godhead had told him some things? The Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit tell us things like he did the Apostle Paul or the other writers of Scripture? No?
We also said that he was found in the Spirit, that he had like a whole arm of God.
Whole arm of God, I'm sure. And he was...
Even though anything bad would happen to him, he knew he had this
armor. He'd be fortified. All right. So in other words, Paul the Apostle met the Lord Jesus. Have we met the Lord Jesus in the same way? We meet him if we're saved, but I mean, he saw him on the road to Damascus. He saw him.
That's why he was an apostle.
That's right. That's right. And so it's an apostolic sign, an apostolic way. So that's in that sense. He witnessed every city. What did he witness in verse 23? What did he tell Paul that was going to happen to him?
Could
be arrested, could be in prison, could be hurt, flogged, afflictions. And verse 24, did that bother Paul greatly, or did it just bother him a little bit? What would you say?
Not much.
Not much. Nothing moved me. What about his life? I'm sure he knew about the use, but what about his life?
He wasn't here to him. He knew that he was going to a better place.
Go to a better place. Had he been to the better place before? Remember as he went through chapter 14?
Mm-hmm.
He was dead, and he, remember in 2 Corinthians 12? So it didn't care. Remember Philippians said, whether to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So what's the... So that I may finish my course. Let's stop right here at verse 24. But do you have any other... That's a wonderful verse right there. Okay, well, let's stop right there. We've gone a lot about salvation and faith. Any other comments or questions, though, before we close? Yes, Anna? Pardon me?
Verse
21 took up most work, and that's an interesting observation. Any other observations or comments or questions before we close? I'm glad you all could come. Let's close in the word. Our Father, we thank thee for thy grace. Thank thee for salvation that we've been able to discuss this afternoon. What we believe by repentance, what we believe by faith, what we believe by salvation itself. Thank thee for Paul and his convictions that he was led of thy Holy Spirit to do what he did. Keep us, Lord, in the hollow of thy hand, thy will. Bless each family represented here and in our church generally and our missionaries. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.